سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa Allah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bil Husayn wa awlad al Husayn wa ashab al Husayn. Tonight is Laylatul Jum'ah, the night of Friday. Islamic calendar begins, the days of the Islamic calendars, they begin with the night, not with the day. So, because we go with the lunar calendar, solar days starts naturally with day. With sunrise, we say that's the beginning of a new day. A lunar calendar that the Islamic calendar is based on begins with the night. That's why your Ramadan begins with when you sight the moon from the evening. So already it's Friday. So when we are talking about Friday, Islamically, 24 hours of Friday begins from the fall of the night on Thursday, like after sunset, and continues until the sunset of Friday. This is called Friday. That's why we say now it's Friday night. So night of the Islamic calendar comes always before the daytime. Now, the reason that I had to mention this, and one of the practices that inshallah we normally do, is to recite Dua Qumayl. Because according to the riwayat that we have, Laylatul Jum'ah, which is part of the Friday, is the holiest time for Muslims. Unlike many other cultures, that like when it is a holiday for them, I might have mentioned this to you before if you remember that. You know the background of this term holiday in English tradition? It used to be a holiday. So when we say that Sunday was a holiday, it used to be a holiday for Christians because it was the day of going to church. Therefore, holiday. This holiday later on became only a holiday. It's a day that you don't work, and therefore they call it holiday. With the increase of the secularism, that because you don't have anything to do during the weekend from tomorrow night, as you can see from after work tomorrow, until Monday morning that they have to go back again to work, they get bored, they don't have anything to do. So many of them have asked that, why are you working? He said, because I have money to spend on weekend. Why? For drinking, gambling, God knows, and going to the city and certain things, to keep themselves busy. Because there's no holiday anymore, there's no church, there's no worshipping, there's no spirituality. Therefore, internally there's a vacuum. And how are we supposed to fill up that vacuum? By being drunk that I don't notice anything, or getting into like drugs again to be unconscious. Because the more they are conscious, the more they will be depressed of loneliness and problems of life as well. And that's why that it used to be a holiday, it turned to holiday, and now it's a holiday. Holiday meaning that it's a day of futility, it's a day of void, and I don't know what am I doing. During the weekdays that I'm busy, I'm working. But weekend that they don't have anything to, it's so hollow. Lives look so hollow. And that's why the rate of suicide, the rate of application for divorce, family argument, even unfortunately sometimes among Muslims, during this time increases. All right. Subhanallah, in our religion, when you compare it, and that's why it's very important to really, brothers and sisters, maintain your religion. My very humble recommendation for yourselves, for your family, for your offspring, if you always want to have a healthy life, walk behind your imams. Don't give any personal interpretation to religion. In the Islamic calendar, from tonight until tomorrow, that in the Islamic world usually is a holiday, if you like to call it, a day that they were not working. There are so many supplications at the EA is mentioned. Friday prayer is also said on that day. Yani a day that is supposed to be a holiday, not to go to work day, is a day of congregation for prayer again. So that we fill it up with spirituality. Allama Majlisi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he has compiled a book about A'mal al-Usbu', the rituals of the week. 90% of this book is about the rituals and the A'mal of Laylatul Jum'ah and Day of Jum'ah. So many mustahabbal, so many A'mal we have. One of them is supplications. In fact, those who are after their spirituality, the imams who were even more than anyone else, they say that our knowledge, this hadith that we have from the imams of Ahlul Bayt in Usul al-Kafi, that they say our knowledge on Thursday evening, like tonight, is increasing. And we are expecting so much grace, so much blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on nights like tonight, Laylatul Jum'ah. Alright? So make a plan in your life always, as much as possible, to do something special for Laylatul Jum'ah. If you don't get a chance throughout the week to do, for example, Salatul Layl, at least Friday morning before your morning prayer, make an intention, try to sleep earlier that you can get the blessing for Salatul Layl. That salat. 3 hours, lest I forget, 3 hours I want to really urge you, brothers and sisters, do your very best to spend it with God or give it to God exclusively. Exclusively, 3 hours you can reap a lot of rewards. If you say salawat, I share it with you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The first, on the top of the list, the first 15 minutes before morning prayer. 15 minutes before your Fajr time. Now, if Fajr time, for example, is 20 to 6, according to the calendar that you have here, 15 minutes before that is enough for you. And it's really so convenient after 5 to get up and offer. If you can spend more, of course, the more the merrier. But at least 15 minutes before your Fajr prayer, commit yourself, say that this 15 minutes belongs to God. It's only me and Him and nobody else. This is for Salatul Layl. And Salatul Layl, you can offer it so quick, so easily, the very bare minimum requirement, 4 times 2, in every 2 rakat for Salatul Layl. Even if you don't have time to do the second surah, just limit it to Suratul Hamd. Suratul Hamd, ruku', sujood, first rakat. Suratul Hamd, ruku', sujood, second rakat. And then tashahud and salam. 2 minutes you can do one 2 rakat prayer. 4 like this, this is 8. Then the other 2, that is Salatul Shafi'a. Salatul Shafi'a. It's mustahab to read in the first rakat after Hamd, Inna qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq. Inshallah you know it off by heart. And in the second rakat after Hamd is Inna qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, qul a'udhu bi rabbil nas. The very last surah of the Quran. Again, finish it seriously. The very last one, that is the 11th one, is called Salat al-Watr. Some they say Watr, the better correct pronunciation is al-Watr. Waf, supposed to have Fathah. Salat al-Watr, Hamd, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. If possible, read Qul huwa Allahu Ahad 3 times, if not only once. And then 70 times in your Qunut, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu Ilayhi. Say Istighfar and pray for whoever you can remember as much as time you have. By doing so, that altogether really does not take more than 15 minutes of your time, you will be written in the list of those who are yuqimuna salat al-layl. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that God yab'athaka maqaman mahmuda. God will grant the Prophet a place in paradise that you will be so pleased with it, so praised by that status. Likewise, anyone who gets blessing of Salat al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate. Yani, it's just like, imagine that, again, I'm sorry to give this kiddie example of that game. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that game of snake and ladder. Huh? All of the sudden, you get a mark that you sit on the ladder, you see, ooh, you went up. Salat al-Layl really accelerate our spirituality and our status in paradise so highly. Especially for you guys, youth. Your youth, if you spend it. Living in Sweden, you spend it. Rahmatullah alayhi, Ayatollah Bahjat, he used to say that two rakat salat that you do it. He was telling us about those who are in Australia. The same applies here in a non-Islamic country. Two rakat salat that you offer here, he said that it's worth more than my salat al-layl. Ayatollah Bahjat was saying that. So, don't miss this opportunity. And that's something that I wanted to share with you to touch on the issue of dua and supplication. So one is 15 minutes before Fajr time. The second time that again it can accelerate your spirituality is 5 minutes all together, 5-6 minutes around Zuhr time, Salat al-Zuhr. Check the time for the Zuhr prayer. If you commit yourself to nafilat al-dhuhr, nafilat means mustahab prayer. Every wajib prayer has a nafilah. Like nafilah for salat al-fajr is 2 rak'at before morning prayer. Nafilah for salat al-dhuhr is 8 rak'at before salat al-dhuhr. Nafilah for salat al-asr again before and maghrib as well. Of all nawafil yawmiyyah, if you can again commit yourself to nafilat salat al-dhuhr, always check and be mindful of the time for the Zuhr prayer. Nafilat Salat Zuhr is from the time that is time for Azan Zuhr. Now if the time for Azan Zuhr here is, let's say, 11:38, okay? The moment that is 11:38 is the time that you can offer, again, 4 times 2, 2 rakat prayer, and do it so quickly. Even you don't need to worry about the second surah, Surah Al-Hamd. Once you commit yourself on this, on the day of judgment, you will be, are you with me? Listen to this status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. You will be resurrected among awwabin. Awwabin. Awwabin are those who return to God most and much. Quran is praising Prophet Ayyub ni'mal abd, innahu awwab. What a good slave I have, referring to Ayyub. He is one of the awwabin, one of those who always refers to God. The Rawayat says that those who were committed in dunya, in this life, to nafilat salat al-dhuhr, they will be resurrected among awwabin, with a very special status that on the day of judgment they are going to enjoy. Now, you may turn and say, that Sheikh, it seems that you don't have a job, man. You are not working. This is a business hour. How can I do this? I'm lucky if I can have my salat al-dhuhr. Let alone nafilat salat al-dhuhr. I tell you, on the contrary, nafilat salat al-dhuhr is easier to offer it than salat al-dhuhr itself. Because restrictions that we have for wajib prayer, we don't have it for mustahab prayer. Remember I mentioned once that nafilah, you can even do it while you're walking. Did I mention it here or not? Huh? You can be driving and do your nafilat salat al-dhuhr. You can be at your desk in your office if you are having an office work and yet do your nafilat salat. 5 minutes, nobody knows, and it should be all right. Come on. They take 5 minutes to go light up a cigarette to have the coffee, isn't it? You use your coffee break for 5 minutes of becoming part of the community of awwabin on the day of judgment. And I'm telling you, you really don't need more than 5 minutes if you stick to the bare minimum that you have to do it. But the point of all of this is consistency. Consistency is very important. The same example I want to give is going to the gym. Consistency makes a difference. Not just once a while to go to the gym. So if you, inshallah, if we, all of us, commit ourselves to these 5 minutes around Zuhr time, you make a difference. This is so far two. There is one more left. If you say salawat, I share it with you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The third very holy time that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he is talking to Abu Hamzat al-Sumali. You have heard of Abu Hamzat al-Sumali, in Dua Abu Hamzat. Abu Hamza was one of the distinguished students of Imam Zainul Abidin. And Imam says that that's why I'm sharing that with you. This is not for the general public knowledge. Not everybody can do that. But Ya Abu Hamza, La Tanamanna Qabla Tulu'i Al-Fajr. Abu Hamza, you can say Ya Sheikh, Ya Fulan, Ya for every one of us. If possible, make sure that you don't sleep before sunrise. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُقَسِّمُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ أَرْزَاقَ الْعِبَادِ. The sustenance that will be given to mankind will be coming down. All the spirituality that will be distributed, all type of knowledge that you don't need to study, you will be inspired by it, it comes to you at that time. وَعَلَىٰ أَيْدِينَا يَجْرِيهَا. In our hands it comes to you. So based on these and other riwayat that we have, from the time 15 minutes was before Fajr time until sunrise, if possible, and I deliberately kept this as the third, because some people may find it difficult to practice it. But we call it Bayn al-Tulu'ayn, between the Fajr and between the sunrise. This is the third holiest time in our weekly calendar that endeavor as much as possible to stay awake. Not only stay awake in worshipping God, with azkar, recitation of Quran, any good deed in terms of dua, Quran, you want to do it on daily basis, keep it for that time. So if we commit ourselves into this, that there are three occasions during my week that belong to God, exclusively to God. 15 minutes every morning before Fajr prayer. 5 minutes every day around at Zuhr time, and between Fajr time and sunrise. This again the time for my religion, exclusively for my religion. Now to get used to it sometimes, especially if we are in the bad habit of sleeping, we have to change our sleeping patterns. You can't stay until 1 or 2 o'clock doing Sahre and Gaade and, you know, chit-chatting on Facebook and on other things, and then expect yourself to get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock or any time Fajr prayer. So we have to change our lifestyle. As you can see, by committing to these, everything will fall into place properly. Steady sleep will fall into place. In the beginning, I may say that after morning prayer, I have time. I like to take a nap before I go to work. And I feel sleepy because I'm not used to staying awake. Bayn al-Tulu'ayn. You like to have a cup of coffee, that's the time that is all right to give, you know, a go ahead to your desire that you're talking against it. All right. Enjoy your coffee in the morning. Do something that you like it, that it keeps you awake at that time, so that your body gets used to. There is a clock inside our brain. The clock, your brain clock, gets used to staying awake at that time. Once you got used to it, then you can change what you are doing to something better. All right? Anyway, I was just trying to explain this to make it more practical. Now, tonight, as Laylatul Jum'ah and every Laylatul Jum'ah, I want to share something with you to see a blessing that we have that often we don't appreciate it, that the blessing of access to the miracles of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, again with Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
One of our very eminent scholars of the 7th century Islamic calendar, who died almost 700 years ago, who is buried in Kazemiyye in Baghdad, as you are entering the shrine of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, his grave is there. His name is Khaja Nasiruddin al-Tusi. This Khaja Nasiruddin al-Tusi, he was a mutakallim, theologian, he was a philosopher, he was a faqih, he was an astronomer, he was a mathematician, genius, a very genius scholar. Despite all his status, he said that when I die, bury me on the way that the pilgrims of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, they go, because I want them to step on my grave and go. All right, as a gesture of humiliation and humbleness before his Imam. Anyway, Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi, he says that there are two kinds of miracles that Anbiya and Awliya, they have brought with themselves. One is a practical miracle, a miracle that is a practice. Like, it was definitely a miracle by Prophet Moses to split the Nile River into two. You know their story. and they pass, Israelites, they pass, and Pharaoh and his people, they were drowned. It was definitely a miracle to bring a dead back to life by Prophet Jesus and the miracles of Prophet Jesus. It was definitely a miracle that pebbles in the hand of the Prophet, they were glorifying God. This is a miracle. But it says all of these were practical miracles. Practical miracles, as impressive it is to people around there, it's unfortunately only limited to people of that time and people who were around, who could see the miracle. Today, for you and I, how on earth do we know that Jesus brought a dead back to life? Unless we have faith in the Quran. How do we know that Moses divided the Nile River, which is the biggest river in the world, into two? Unless we have faith in the Quran. Alright? Therefore, for a non-Muslim, there's no way you can prove it. For non-believer especially, you cannot believe. Atheist, how can I prove that? It's really very difficult, if at all possible. Khawaja Nasir says that there is another kind of miracle that still is around, and that is the miracle of the speech. You know why the miracle of the Prophet of Islam, of all more than 4,000 miracles registered for the Prophet, there is one that still is a living miracle, and it's an everlasting miracle of the Prophet, which was the Holy Quran. Quran is the everlasting miracle of the Prophet of Islam. That if anybody says that, how do I know that pebbles in the hand of the Prophet glorify God? Prove it to me. I say, I can't prove it to him. But I can prove it to him that the Prophet of Islam is a genuine prophet, and he was definitely a messenger of God. Had a miracle with the Holy Quran. The Quran, this our Quran, is a living miracle of the Prophet. Okay? And it still is there. At least in three occasions, Quran has called for a challenge. If anybody thinks that can produce something similar to this, bring it. Quran says bring even as small as one small surah of the Quran, like Surah Al-Kawthar. Nobody has been able and will never be able to. The point that I'm making here is this. Our imams, also they had miracles that we refer to as karamat, not mu'ajizat. Imam Ali alayhi salam had karamat, Imam Hassan, all the imams of Ahlul Bayt, they had their own karamat and miracles as well. In English, we translate most of them the same things that ordinary people, they could not do it. But for the same reason that I cannot still show the miracles, the practical miracles of the Prophet to people, I cannot show the practical miracles of Imam Ali to people as well. But Imam Ali alayhi salam had left a heritage, the miracles of a speech that still is there. And is the best proof to prove the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Yani, in my humble opinion, if you wanted to prove and say that why is it I've chosen the path of Ahlul Bayt to follow over the path of Khulafa, you don't need to go to theological discussions and debates with the Sunnis. Simply, you tell them that, look, I have this Nahj al-Balagha. This is the work of my imam. You show me the lectures of your imam. Let's compare them. Simple. You remember last night what I said to you about Ibn Abi al-Hadid? Sermon number 221 of Nahj al-Balagha. That this Sunni scholar, he says, for the last 50 years, I've read this more than 50 times. And every time I read, I feel goosebumps on it. We have a sermon in Nahj al-Balagha. It's known as Khutbatul Muttaqin, the sermon that the Imam talks about the description, characteristics of the pious people. You know the background of that. Someone, Imam alayhi salam, is going up the pulpit on the member to give a lecture. Someone is sitting there, said, Ya Ali Safli al Muttaqin, Ya Amir al Mu'mineen, describe to me the pious people. Imam gives a few short sentences, brief answer. And deliberately, that was their style. Then the man is not calm. He says, Ya Ali, is it possible to give more? The Imam says, okay, listen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And spontaneously, yani without any preparation, it's not like us that we have to spend 10 hours to prepare a lecture or so. No, spontaneously, he starts talking about Muttaqin. I've counted more than 100 characters of the pious people in that sermon is mentioned. Let alone the eloquence of it. As the Imam is talking, Hammam, the questioner, who is just, in English, say his jaw dropped. Oh. He was amazed how Imam is describing the pious people. So much so, read it. Imam has not finished and still he's talking that Imam had a long breath and died. So much was captured by the words of Imam alayhi salam. Really, if you have an Arabic background and you read Khutbat al-Muttaqin, then you will appreciate it. And then the Imam says that, that's what I was scared of. In the beginning, I gave him a short answer. I didn't know if he can take it. We have such sermons in Nahj al-Balagha. Somebody, another occasion, to show you who our Imams are. Imam alayhi salam goes up on the member to give a talk. Someone says, Ya Ali, can you do us tonight, today, a favor? Yes, Bismillah. He says that, Ya Ali, I want you today to give a lecture that you don't use any of the alphabets of Arabic that has dot in it. In Arabic language, we have 28 letters. Arabic alphabet consists of 28 letters. Half have got dots, like ba, like ta, like tha. All right? Half they don't, like alif. Now imagine that, how many letters you have in Swedish?
28.
28? Imagine they take half of it from you and say that now you speak Swedish. How possible it is? The challenge is there. Google search it, you find the sermon. Sermon, alhamdulillah, still is there. Imam alayhi salam, with no preparation, and he starts talking, giving a sermon, lecturing them with half of the alphabet, Arabic alphabet. Allahu Akbar. Isn't this a miracle? It's a living miracle. Now, do we need to go to theological discussion to prove that this is an imam? And still, I have more for you with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
When our imams, yani really, alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana li hada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. I swear to God, as a mini sheikh, if I can even call myself a mini sheikh, who lived in the West for almost 2 decades and attended so many seminars of interfaith with different leaders of Mazahib al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, Christian denominations, the Jewish and different religions. How many times after seminars I said to myself, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana, I cannot thank God enough for being a Shia. Yani, what a blessing. What a blessing is the blessing of Iman. Wakafa, yani, beha ni'mata. What a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced us to this path of Ahlul Bayt and to the love of Ahlul Bayt and to be the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. When our imams were talking to people, even in their sermons, like Nahj al-Balagha, still they were considering the understanding and the mentality of their audience. نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَئِمَّةِ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أُمِرْنَا أَنْ نُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ. They said, we speak to you guys according to your level of understanding. So we have to simplify ourselves so much, so that you can understand me, says Imam alayhi salam. Still, you don't know my knowledge. Do you know when the knowledge of the Imams will be known, and it's way beyond our level of understanding, is when the Imam turn and on to talk to God. Then the equation becomes the other way around. When they talk to humans, like someone comes selling khiyar, cucumber, and is asking Imam Sadiq a question, Imam Sadiq answers him according to his understanding. But when our imams, they are in supplication, in dua, communication with God, wow, subhanallah. It's so difficult to understand the meaning of their supplications. This dua, Kumail, is just an example of it. A friend of mine, a sheikh, used to be Sunni. He, alhamdulillah, God blessed him, he became Shia. When I was once talking to him and I said, Shaykhana, what was your motivation to become a Shia? He said, Dua Kumail. Because we don't have such things in the Sunni. In the Sunni literature, we don't. And as a, I'm just hesitant. He has Arabic background. I don't become particular, just in case he's not, you may know who I'm talking about. He's got an Arabic background. He says, as a person who knows Arabic well, first time that I attended the Shia mosque, and I listened to Dua Kumail, I was stunned. and he knows the whole Quran off by heart. You know, in the Sunni Hawza, they focus so much on the Quran. He said, I said, what is this? And that was the start of my inquiries about the Shia and Imam Ali. I said that if this is an Imam that has this literature, what Imams they have, if anything. I share with you a couple of personal experiences as well. I'm very much fan of Dua Abu Hamza al-Somali, especially every time that I'm going to Hajj or in the month of Ramadan. May God bless you. If you've been to Hajj, you know what I'm talking about. Usually in the second level, the third even level of Masjid al-Haram, with our friends, we used to sit at night, after midnight, reading this Dua Abu Hamza al-Somali. Last year that I was in Hajj, as I was reading Dua Abu Hamza, and you know it's a long Dua, we don't have the strength to stand on our feet. Imam Zainul Abidin was standing on his feet, raising his hand like a beggar in tears and saying this to Abu Hamza with no preparation. More than an hour. Unbelievable. We finished the dua and the brothers told me that we had a group from London. And they told me that, Sheikh, there are two brothers they want to see you. They were from Yemen, Sunnis. They came forward, Salaamu Alaikum, Habibi, Al-Albu. They started talking. Said, can we see this dua that you were reading? I was reading it from my mobile. I said, yes, this is dua. And they said, we're passing by and we overheard you reading this dua. The magnet of dua, the eloquence of dua, it took us so much that we froze. We could not move anymore. We stood up listening. And both of us, we decided we can't leave it. We want to listen to the end of it. And we sat down. And my friends confirmed. They said that, yes, they were there almost from beginning of dua to the end of it. I said to them that this is from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, the son of Imam Hussein, the son of Imam Ali, and the grandson of the Prophet. He said, can we have a copy of it? And I didn't have it, but brothers, they said that we can send you the link. Today is available easily. You can get it on the net. And long story short, they said that, do you read this every night? I said, well, this is our place every night, and you are most welcome to come tomorrow night as well. The following night, brothers, they suggested we read Dua Joshan al-Kabir. They said, Sheikh, tonight we'd like to read Dua Joshan al-Kabir. I said, all right, Malish, we read Joshan al-Kabir. We were reading Dua Joshan al-Kabir. Those guys, they again came and joined us. 1,000 divine names of God in 100 passages. Isn't this a miracle again? Really, you put Mafatih al-Janan aside tonight and talk to God. Let us see how much can we say. What do we have to say? Allahu Akbar. After the dua, they again came and they said, but this is not what you were reading last night. I said, yeah, this is something different. I said, what is this? Where did you get this from? I said, we've got a book called Mafatih al-Janan. It's a treasure trove. And every night we pick up one. We have many of them. And the one who has compiled Sahifat al-Alawiyyah has compiled 151 supplications from Imam Ali alayhi salam. That dua kamal is just one of them. One of them. You know, both of them, Wallahi al-Azim, both of them, they said, we want to become Shia. What it entails, how can we become a Shia? Khalas, enough is enough. This is a true madhab. And even they took the details, they said that we want to come to Qom and study, learn more about Tashayyu and things like that. SubhanAllah, this is a living miracle of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And despite all of this, when Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is reading Dua Abu Hamza al-Somali, says, أَفَبِلِسَانِي هَذَا الْكَالُّ أَشْكُرُكَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Really, it brings tears to the eyes that in such an eloquent way, such beautiful dua that is beyond our imagination, yet the Imam says that how can with these little words, with this tiring body, I become grateful to you? Meaning that still my heart has much more to say. But words are not enough. Why? Please remember where we were. When talking to humans, our intellect does not allow them to speak more. They had words more for us, but our intellect is so low that we wouldn't understand. Therefore, Imams simplify themselves. When they are communicating with God, it becomes the other way around. Because they are talking in words, عَلَىٰ أَنَّ ثَوْبًا خِيْطَ مِنْ نَسْجَ تِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعِينَ حَرْفًا عَمَّ عَلِيهِ قَاصِرُونَ. They say that this Arabic alphabet that is the best perhaps to communicate with God with, It's so limited. Words of humans are so limited that how can they express my heart in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the Imams of Ahlul Bayt al-Musallam. And this is the tablecloth of the adiyat and supplications like Dua Kumail that we have, inshallah. I just wanted to touch on it so that you really appreciate this treasury available to you to communicate with God in using of the words of Ahlul Bayt al-Musallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Laylatul Jum'ah is exclusively the night for the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. There is a hadith from Imam al-Hujjah al-Jalallah ta'ala farajuhu al-Sharif. Amanun min al-Nar lizuwar qabr al-Husayn laylatul Jum'ah. Security is provided from the hellfire for the visitors of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the night of Jum'ah, like tonight. And that's why Zuwar, the caravans, the qafilat that they go to Karbala, usually they try their very best to at least are there in one Laylatul Jum'ah. Now, do you want to go to Karbala tonight? Inshallah, turn off the lights and follow me. Talking about supplications and reading the ziyarat and the musibat of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, it should really take us, we should go to the maqtal. By maqtal, brothers and sisters, we mean that the enemy on the day of Ashura, they surrender Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. When Sayyid al-Shuhada had no more of his youth around Bani Hashim, no more of his companions around. Even Qamar Bani Hashim, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, Alamdar, has been martyred. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was so lonely. But subhanallah, the lonelier he became, the more his face was bright. The more lonelier, the brighter his face became. So much so that one of the enemy narrates, he says, Wallah, ما رأيت مكثورا قد قد قتل أهله وولده أكثر جأشا منه. I have never seen anyone who has lost all his soldiers, who has lost all who his dear ones, like even Ali al-Asqar, and still he is so strong. Even when they shot the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein from all around. Now imagine that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, all the arrows are hitting one target, the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His body is bleeding from all, every limb and corner, so much that Imam Hussein could not stand on his feet anymore. He is on the maqtal towards the end of his life. The body has no more energy to fight and do anything. But Abdullah ibn Ammar was one of the reporters. He says, I got close to Hussein ibn Ali and I saw that only his lips were moving. I was wondering whether he's asking for water. Is it because he's thirsty? What is Hussein is about to say? Why his lips are quietly moving? And when I went closer, I noticed that he's in supplication. He is doing munajat with his creator. Bismillah wa billah wa ala millat rasulullah ilahi ridan biqadaik tasliman l'amrik. Oh Allah, Hussein is so pleased with your pleasure. Ya Allah, here is, you wanted to take my Ali Asghar, I offered him. You wanted my Ali Akbar, I gave him. You wanted my brothers, all of them are given for the sake of God. And here I am, Ya Allah, as you wish. Ridan bi qada'ik, please with your pleasure. Taslim al-amrik. Hussein is so submitted to you, and subhanallah, Imam Hussein alayhi salam left this dunya with these supplications. Ala na'natullah. Ala al-qawm al-zalimeen, wa say'alamu al-lazeen zalamu ayyamun ghalabin yanqalibun. Amman yujibu al-mustarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-soo.
أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 بجاه محمد وآل محمد وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.